sang Thursday morning at our veteran service. You can see we still have some of the things up. And yesterday was Veterans Day, but we do appreciate our veterans. And if you're a veteran, stand this morning. We want to give you a hand. No knee taking when Declan sang, was it? We don't do that here. Turning your Bibles this morning to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I want to read it, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts today from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began looking at these very familiar verses here in John's Gospel chapter 3. And our purpose in coming here is to look at the three musts of this chapter. Last week, we saw the Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 14, destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent as he speaks these words of verse 3 to Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews who had come to him by night. The Lord Jesus tells Nicodemus in verse 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the response of Nicodemus shows the destruction of his wisdom and the nothingness to which his understanding has been brought by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This master of Israel has no idea what the Lord is talking about when he says, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the Lord explains. He explains further in verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This fifth verse is where we spent our time last week. And we thought about the words, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And we noted that those words took Nicodemus and they take us back to the beginning. They take us back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, where we read, And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's worth noting, and I think we mentioned it last week, that those words are a description of the condition of the soul of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night And night was not only the time of day that Nicodemus came to the Lord, but it was night in this man's soul, just as it is night in your soul this morning, if you're lost. And what looms before you in the darkness is the deep, the grave. And you don't know when the grave is going to come up. And yet, in spite of being in darkness, in spite of not being able to see the grave ahead, men love darkness rather than light, because our deeds are evil. And our love of darkness is equaled by our hate of the light. We don't want to come to the light because we don't want our deeds to be reproved. We don't want our deeds to be made manifest. That's your condition if you're lost this morning. It's our condition from birth. And we can't change it. That's why the Lord says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so what Nicodemus needed and what we need is to be born again. And so the Lord is taking Nicodemus back to the beginning to explain to him his condition. Your life, Nicodemus, in spite of you being a Pharisee, in spite of your position, in spite of you being a ruler of the Jews and a master of Israel, is without form and void. It's vain. It's empty. And you're living in darkness. You need to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And in Genesis 1 and verse 2, the first place that we find water and the Spirit of God mentioned, there we find how being born again is possible. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Water in the Bible is a symbol of the Word of God. And the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. And we talked last week about how the word face is such an important word. In the immediate context of Genesis 1-2, it means surface. And we understand what that means. The Spirit of God literally moved upon the face, upon the surface of the waters. But there's a spiritual message in the word face. And we saw that message last week. We saw it from Genesis to Revelation. In every book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is the face of the waters of the Word of God. And the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. And God says, just as He did in the beginning, let there be light. God commands the light to shine out of darkness. And He shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The question, if you're lost this morning, is what are you doing with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that God has shined in your heart as His Spirit has moved upon the face of the waters of this book? What are you doing with that light as He's convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment? Light creates accountability. Light creates responsibility because it shows us who we are and where we are. It shows us that our deeds are evil. It shows us our condition before God. It shows us how God sees us. He sees us just as we see in, or just as we read in Isaiah chapter 1. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in us, none, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And Mark chapter 7 gives us the details of the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores that make us a stench in the nostrils of God. For from within, Mark wrote, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, that's unbridled lust, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Those are the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores that the light produced by the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters of the Word of God reveals to us. That's what the light shows. And as we stand there in that light, we're without excuse. We can't say that we don't know what we are. Our mouths are stopped. And we're guilty before God. And the question is, what are we going to do with the light? Light creates responsibility. It creates accountability to God. What are you going to do with the light? And that question is so important. Because light rejected becomes darkness. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Brother Jim was talking about Pharaoh Wednesday night in his message. And how Pharaoh hardened his heart and hardened his heart and hardened his heart. And one day God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh rejected the light. Until the light that was in him was darkness. And how great was that darkness? It was the blackness of darkness forever. Pharaoh left this world lost. That's how great the darkness of his heart was. And this is the seriousness of the message that the Lord is giving to Nicodemus. And the message hasn't changed, and the seriousness of the message hasn't changed. I think sometimes that we don't really stop and think about what a serious thing it is to come to a meeting like this. To come to a meeting and have another opportunity to hear the Word of God. To have another opportunity for the Spirit of God to move upon the face of the waters and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a serious matter it is to come to a meeting like this. The message hasn't changed. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus is explaining what it means to be born again. How this new birth takes place. And in thinking about these things and trying to enter into something of their meaning, there's a portion of Scripture that came to mind. And I'd like for us to look at it for just a minute. Turn back, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I know it's not Christmas yet exactly, but it's okay to look at Christmas verses. It needs to be Christmas in our hearts 365 days a year. So it doesn't hurt for us to jump the gun a little bit and look at verses that will be on our minds and hearts during the Christmas season. Notice, if you will, beginning in verse 26, we have the account of the angel Gabriel who was sent from God. And we read in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, I'd like for us to think about the scene here. The angel Gabriel is telling Mary that the Lord Jesus is going to be conceived in her. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be born in her. New life is going to be born in Mary. She's going to experience a new birth. And Mary asked this question in verse 34. How shall this be? How shall this be? Here's Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 telling Mary about a miraculous birth, a new birth, God being born in her. And her question is, how shall this be? And what's interesting to me is that in John chapter 3, we have the Lord Jesus telling Nicodemus about a miraculous birth, a new birth, telling him about being born again. And Nicodemus asked the exact same question. John chapter 3 and verse 9, he asked, how can these things be? How can these things be? And the Lord's answer to Nicodemus is, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And notice Gabriel's answer to Mary in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I would suggest the thought that Gabriel's answer to Mary here is the same as the Lord's answer to Nicodemus. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. That's how the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. That's how the power of the highest overshadowed her. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here's the promise of the coming Redeemer. And he's not going to be the seed of a man. He's not going to have an earthly father. He's going to be the seed of the woman because he's going to be born of a virgin. And he'll be born of a virgin because God is his father. He will be conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of Genesis 3:15 to teach Mary how these things can be. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's exactly what we read in verse 32 and 33 here. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is how the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. This is how the power of the highest overshadowed her. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of the Word of God to teach Mary how these things could be. And the Lord Jesus is going to do exactly the same thing with Nicodemus. And I believe the proof of that here is verse 38. Notice, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. This is how people are born again of water and of the Spirit. This is how the Holy Ghost comes upon us. This is how the power of the highest overshadows us. This is how the Spirit of truth reproves of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. And God says, let there be light. God commands the light to shine out of darkness. And He shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And He shows us our heart. And He shows us our sin, and He shows us our need. And when He does that, and when we take our place as a sinner, we cry out to God, be it unto me according to Thy Word. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. There's no pretense in those words. There's nothing of self in those words. The word handmaid, as Mary calls herself in this 38th verse, means servant. It refers to someone who gives themselves up to another's will. These are words of humility. These are words of surrender. They are the kind of words that come from a heart that's come to the end of itself, that has no other argument, that has no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. There's such depth in these words. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. They're words that aren't to be spoken lightly. Think about what it means to say that. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. And what does your Word say? It says, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. And what does your Word say? The wages of sin is death. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. And what does your Word say? It says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. And what does your Word say? It says Christ died for our sins. Let's make it personal. We're in that hour. Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be it unto me according to Thy Word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we cry out from the depths of our souls, be it unto me according to Thy Word, we're born again of water and of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is conceived in us. Just as He was conceived in Mary. That's the message of Christmas. His life is born in us. At our first birth, we're born of the flesh. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It can never be anything else. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And if we live after the flesh, we shall die. Not only physically, but spiritually. But at our second birth, when we're born again, we're born of water and of the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes us free from the law of sin and death. That's why the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 3, let's go back there if you will. John chapter 3. That's why He says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. One of the men who had a tremendous impact on this nation was George Whitefield. He and Jonathan Edwards are two of the best known men, two of the best known preachers of the Great Awakening in this country that united the colonies and helped to pave the way for the American Revolution. And I was reading something yesterday that George Whitefield preached more than 300 sermons from John chapter 3 and verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Think about that. 300 sermons. That was George Whitefield's primary message. You must be born again. And it was so much his message that one day a person came up to him and said, "Why do you always preach that you must be born again?" Mr. Whitfield's answer was very direct and very simple. Because you must be born again. I love these simple answers. Why do you preach that? Why do we preach it? Because you must be born again. That was the Lord Jesus' message to Nicodemus. You must be born again. I want you to think about something. That's the proclamation from heaven. Ye must be born again. That's the proclamation from heaven. But folks, if there's a proclamation from heaven that ye must be born again, ye must be born again, then there has to be a provision from heaven to make it possible. That brings us to the second must of this chapter. We don't really have time to get into it in detail. We have to do that in another message, Lord willing. But we do have time to see the second must. Look at verse 14. The first must, you must be born again. It's the proclamation from heaven. The second must, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the second must of John chapter 3. The proclamation of verse 7 is, ye must be born again. The provision of verse 14 is, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The provision is the cross. It was the only way that we could be born again. The only way. Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord didn't just proclaim from heaven, you must be born again, and then not provide a provision? The Lord of glory, the Creator God, must be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. There the Lord Jesus would pay the price for our sin. There God would lay on Him the iniquity of us all. There He would make His soul an offering for sin. There the Lord Jesus would be made sin for us. There He would shed His blood that we might be born again. The question today is, have you been born again? Have you been born again? You must be born again. That's the proclamation. The provision is that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And He was. That's why He came. He came to die. So what's the problem in you being born again? Your will is the problem. Your way. Wanting to have your own will and wanting to have your own way and wanting to have your own life and wanting to go in your own direction. Hating the light. Loving the darkness of your sin. That's the problem. The problem's not on God's part. Have you been born again? The good news is you can be this morning. The Spirit of God is still moving upon the face of the waters of the Word of God. He's still moving on those waters to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You're still living in the day of grace. We're still living in the day. And in the time when you can lay down your rebellion, when you can stop fighting against God, when you can repent of your sin, you can surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and say from your heart, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the simple message. You must be born again. And we thank you that you've made provision for us to be born again. We thank you that we have verse 14 here in John chapter 3. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then that great and wonderful verse that we know so well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We thank you that you did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We thank you that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. We pray that you would speak to any here who are lost today, that they might hear the message. And as they have the light of the Word of God shown in their hearts, that they would turn to you in repentance and faith. Father, we pray that you would speak to those of us who are saved. We have a message to proclaim. It's a simple message, but it's a powerful message. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray that we would be faithful to give forth that message. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.